Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Bill Hansen, Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Education. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is Deborah Cameron. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Bill, perhaps we could just start by finding out more about the Department of Education. Could you talk to us about its mission and its activities?
Absolutely. The Department is actually a pretty young federal agency. It's the 13th in terms of when departments were created. It was created in 1979 by Congress. It used to be housed as part of the old HEW up until 1979, and so now we have HHS and the Department of Education. But I think the simplest way to look at the department, we have a twofold mission. One is to improve access to education and to also improve the quality of education in this country. And that's in our organizational statute, and that's really what drives the Department of Education.
Could you give us a sense of the budget and the number of employees and even the skills of the employees?
Yeah, we are also the smallest cabinet agency in terms of numbers of employees. We're about 4,700 employees. We do have 6,000 or 7,000 contract employees that help administer our student aid programs, in particular our student loan programs. But all told, it's about less than 5,000 in-house and about 6,000 contract employees. But on the budget side of things, we are one of the largest agencies. Our budget is over $50 billion in discretionary spending and about another $40 plus billion in student loans that we either make directly or guarantee through the private sector. So, and if you take into account some of the tax benefits that we have to work with the Treasury Department on, with the HOPE scholarship and the lifelong learning and other types of tax issues, our total budget is about $100 billion in what we are in charge of administering.
We've talked about administering programs, technology, and education. What are the skills of the workforce?
It's actually pretty diverse. We have a very diverse menu of programs that we are in charge of administering. We administer about 250 what I would call categorical grant programs, evenly distributed between the K through 12 education system and the higher education system, and does require different skill sets in terms of people's expertise in working with states and local school districts or at the university level. We also have programs that affect special education. It's a big $10 billion piece of our budget. And we also have a very big research component, and our research office is very different than administering grants. It really requires a different set of skill sets from people. But I would probably say about half of our employees are more on the management side of things, because of what we do is deliver aid to the 50 states, the 100,000 school districts, the 8,000 colleges and universities, and 3,000 banks. We have an awfully big network of partners that we work with in the education enterprise, and it really does require, from a business standpoint, that we have a very sophisticated CIO function, a very sophisticated CFO function. We are probably, I'd say, one of the most complicated federal agencies when it comes to managing the funds. We just don't give out grants like in the student loan programs, for example. We have to administer about $280 billion of student loans, either that we hold directly or that we guarantee in the private sector. And these are loans that are given to 18-year-old non-credit-worthy kids when they're going to college and, you know, may not be paid back till they're 40 years old. So there is an awful long lifespan to our some of our programs, and but it does require a very different set of skills at the, you know, we're kind of a bank on the one hand, but we're also kind of a large school district on the other. So it really requires us to have a diverse pool of employees to help get the job done.
Well, tell us about your career leading up to this point. How did you get prepared for this position?
I had actually worked at the department for about 10 years back in the 1980s and early 1990s. And when the previous President Bush was exiting office, at that time I was at the number three position at the department. At the time it was called the Assistant Secretary for Management and Budget, and then the Chief Financial Officer at the department. And So I'd had 10 years experience at the department. I had also worked at the Department of Energy, Department of Commerce, and different positions in both of those agencies. Between 1993 and before coming back into government service, I was the president and CEO of an organization called the Education Finance Council. And it was, I think most people would recognize it more as a trade association, but we represented the organizations in the student loan enterprise and the not-for-profit side of things, totaling about $50 billion worth of organizations that make student loans and scholarships at the higher education level. I'd also served on a number of boards and commissions in the state of Virginia with Governor Allen and Governor Gilmore. I was on Governor Allen's Champion Schools Commission and was also his commissioner on the Commission for the Future of Public Education. And for Governor Gilmore, I was on his Business Education Partnership Commission as well as his School to Work Commission. And so I was involved at the state level at the K-12 issues, but my predominant job the last 8 years was working in the higher education financing business. Also was the transition director for the department and coming into the department for President-elect Bush after about exactly 2 years ago. That was the hat I was wearing in helping the transition of administrations, and that led to what we've been doing here for the last 2 years.
Now, how did your earlier experience at the department shape your entry this time?
I think a couple of things. One is I think my experience at the department both, you really do recognize the experience and the importance of people that work in the bureaucracy. Have some of the best experts in their fields inside the Department of Education and just a very deep talent pool. And I think having that respect and appreciation coming in for the experts that are there and being able to rely on their expertise was very important. But also, when I'd worked for the government before, I'd say one thing that helped me was the 8 years of private sector experience, because when I'd worked in the government before, it was kind of right out of college and 12 straight years of government experience. And those 8 years in the private sector, both at the state level and as well as and working in the nonprofit arena, helped me better understand how the Department of Education impacts states and impacts the private sector. And so having that perspective coming back into the department, I hope and think, makes me a much more valuable manager this time around than I was before.
Describe your roles and responsibilities. What would a typical day look like for you?
Well, as the Deputy Secretary, government-wide, President Bush has asked for each of us to be the chief operating officers of our respective departments. So that really is what we do. And we run the day-to-day operations of the department, in charge of the budget for the department, the strategic planning, frankly, all the program operations. We have a very important undersecretary that is in charge of policy operations, but pretty much the deputy secretary is responsible for all of the day-to-day operations of the department, from management to budget to program policy. And so it really is, I come to work every day with a set schedule, but by the end of the day, it's probably about half of it happened and the other half is all putting out fires and responding to the changing needs, both whether it's political issues up on Capitol Hill or at the White House or internally within the department. But it's a fun job, but it's a challenging one.
Earlier you talked about the years you were away from the federal government in terms of the value it brought being in the private sector and the nonprofits and understand how the programs worked. Could you also contrast maybe or tell us your perspective on, were there differences in the management skills you used or the management styles you saw in the different sectors?
Yeah, I think obviously at the federal level we don't have the same simplicities or efficiencies of the private sector, and the pliability not quite as nimble and able to move as quickly. But I also think working in the federal government before you, I think some people could come in new to government and could be very overwhelmed by the sometimes the inability for government to move quickly. But actually, there's one example. Secretary Page, who's the Secretary of Education, came from the Houston Independent School District as the superintendent there. Never worked for the federal government before, but when we first got here, we had a very steep mountain to climb with some management challenges at the department. And that no-nonsense private sector attitude, though, really, I think, made a very big difference to, taking the good and making it better, but also tackling some of the challenges. And that you know, can-do attitude, and but also coupled with, you know, an understanding of sometimes turning systems around in the federal government isn't as easy as it is in the private sector. Knowing what barriers you have, but also what opportunities you have, is very important coming in. And so I would say that private sector experience, it, I think it helps you be a little more demanding, a little bit more, you know, the cutting edge, and expecting government to operate more like a private company. And I think all of us should have those expectations. And there are federal rules and regulations and other things that get in the way, but we need to, I think bringing that private sector experience has been very, very helpful in making sure we got very high expectations and demanding the results that we need.
That's a good stopping point, because we've got to go to a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our discussion with Bill Hansen of the Department of Education. What does it mean to leave no child behind? We'll ask Bill when the Business of Government Hour returns.